Welcome to Unbounded Potential's Go Beyond series with your hosts, Karen King and Selma from Radis. Our mission is to help you tap into your innate potential by providing you with cutting-edge speakers and leading-edge information.
You will receive the insights, tools, strategies, and mindset that you need to empower yourself so that you can empower others as together we empower the world.
Well, a big welcome to everyone to this mini-series, Predictions, Forecasts, and Transformation in 2016. I'm Karen, and with my co-host Selma, we want to extend our huge big hugs of thanks. Thank you to you for joining us. Our world has never needed more compassionate, brave dreamers and bright, perceptive souls doing great things in the world as it does now. So nine extraordinary speakers have come together in this series to inspire you to maximize the opportunity of this fresh year of 2016. They all hold the intention to help you progress forward to find truth, peace, beauty, and even opportunity and success in the midst of challenges. Tonight's guest will channel Archangel Michael, do a star healing and light codes visualizations from Jesus, and an intergalactic energy process, as well as talk about the prophecies for 2016 and beyond while living in the moment. So you don't want to miss a moment of tonight's show. It's going to be power-packed interview. Selma, can you introduce tonight's guest?
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you very, very much. Now, Kelly Hampton is rapidly becoming one of the top international spiritual leaders and alchemy teachers. She is a, you know, renowned angelic and ascended masters, interdimensional elemental channel and gifted medium. She's the founder of Star Healing Intergalactic Energy, Ascended Spaces, Dominion. She's an author, she's a medium, and she's also an advanced channel here to anchor the Christ grid of ascension. Now, Kelly is always deeply grateful to serve and to help empower people. We're always grateful when she comes by to visit. She and Archangel Michael always, always leaves us with a smile and a really aha moment. And I'm sure we're going to get a lot of those today. So welcome back to our show, Kelly Hampton.
Thanks so much, ladies.
Oh,
hello, everyone.
So glad you're here. Yes, welcome. Welcome back to the show,
yes.
Kelly. We've got so much to talk about. But before we begin, can you perhaps help us anchor tonight's show? You have a light codes visualization process from Jesus that I think would be absolutely fabulous to start the program off with.
All right. Well, I'm happy to do that and begin there. You know, I like the spontaneity of not really knowing how things will go.
Surprise!
Surprise! So, I will be invoking, we all have our own truths and labels and words and places of where we come from. Certainly, I can only, speak sort of in a way from myself. So although others might refer to Jesus in many other names and many other ways, most of the time I was raised and I hear and I still refer to Jesus as Jesus, without any reference to religion as a source of, sometimes referred to Jesus particularly, or Christ, or the Christed extraterrestrials, as an unconditional love source. So whatever your personal name might be for Jesus, I'd like to invoke him at this time and see how he'd like to guide us, and as Karen suggested, anchor our call. Maybe many of the things will go on after the call. So anyway, Jesus, Master Jesus, you're hearing this. How can you guide us? What's the healing vibrational convening moment, as we're all gathered here, that you'd like to share with us as we work together collectively to help one another, help the animals, help everyone on the planet? All right, he's saying, I have been summoned by many names. And it is something that we will be sharing here. It's a process that doesn't really have a name. Some of you may see me and know me in a white cloak and a white gown. Some of you, I think, probably already are seeing me in this manner. Some of you might not feel me, may not know me, may not ever have that knowingness in the now moment. But the codes and the way I'd like to share some time here together would be to open those portals wider so that if you never had clear hearing, if you've not yet had clear sight, if you've not yet had clear heart knowing, connected to high self, many ways to explain this. It is my hope that by extending some of this vibrational frequency to you through the codes will be embedded through my words, by the way. So if you're looking for coded numbers, if you're looking for tones of code, they will be instead, and they're already being assimilated in the transference of the sharing here and now. So the codes are coded. So it will be very easy just to sit back and relax. If one is drawn to close one's eyes, you may do that. If it moves your hearts and minds to imagine, as there's great healing in visualizing, as we spend some initiating time here together, Jesus is saying, I'd like to get to know each and every one of you a bit better. So as she instinctively may know, this is an unscripted part of the script. And the script would be a question that you can answer yourselves, dear souls, as we come to spend this eternal time together. What is it that you hope to accomplish? Why are you here? Why are you making space in your day for this? What have you already accomplished? Who are you? What do you envision the world, the year of the world that you're living in, to be like? What, dear ones, are you doing to rise up and anchor these high-level frequencies into the planet, into your heart, into your friends and minds? Jesus is asking, who are you, friends? You may be asking, who am I? I'm asking, who are you? Where are your hearts? Where are your hearts? Where are your minds? Is it possible that we imagine that our hearts are united and that those that may not be here with us, who are totally desperate, totally lost, totally without hope and inspiration, totally without an internet, totally without a telephone, totally without electricity, totally without water, totally this, totally that, totally not able to hear this guidance, know that the vibrational codes, when we share them with us, when we share them, when you share your grace, Jesus is saying, I'd like to talk for a moment about sharing grace, sharing space and sharing grace. So when we share the grace of your heart, certainly first within yourselves, and then within the context of the larger community or your larger family, you're really doing a huge service to yourself and to those that may be totally lacking. I would suggest to those who are with us now, hearing this vibration, this conversation live or in a moment's time again, that you're already more blessed than about one half of the population on the planet that doesn't have any means to access this information. So I'm blessed to be called upon and honored to share some detailed, simple, coded information that will stick to the majority of the souls who are listening. It will stick to the majority of the soul's light bodies long enough, if not eternally, but long enough, depending, with someone else who may be less privileged. It is a privileged existence in many ways if you're listening to not only this time spent together, but when you're drawn to learn and reap the benefits of many great teachers that are walking amongst you, you yourselves included. So if we could take a moment to think about grace. Grace is acceptance of self and acceptance of others. That's how I come to know grace. And so if you can picture, friends, in your mind, I would be asking you to picture something that symbolizes self-acceptance to you. If you take a moment, deepen your breathing if it moves you or not. Some of you might be taking notes and listening. You can do multiple things at this moment. But imagine as we're actually anchoring and providing some light-coded information already, what does grace look like to you if it were held in your hand? What would it look like? Would it be a scroll? Would it be a scroll of scripted information from eons and eons and eons of time ago that talked about the Holy Grail? Could grace be a flower that you are holding in your hand that is yet to be an open flower, a bud? Could grace be a mirror? Could grace be a mirror that you hold in your hand and you hold the mirror up and you look in the mirror? Do you see the face of grace? Acceptance of self, acceptance of others. It's impossible to talk about anchoring the grid of ascension to the earth plane without knowing that there's more work to be done, and without knowing and acknowledging that until there's any fragment left within your being, that when and if you chose to hold a mirror and look into the mirror and report back who is looking back at you, there's work to be done. As every man, woman, and child, every plant and animal on the kingdom, and those that are here, and those that are in the hollow earth, and those that are in interstellar dimensions, as the ones on high, we say, as those on high see the work that's being done here on earth, let me congratulate each and every one of you for doing your part in loving yourselves more fully. For all things flow from love of self, and no anchoring of a grid, which has already been begun, it's a process that's begun. No support, further support of the grid can continue without an understanding, and the word would be grace. There are healing codes in the word grace. If it moves some of you to repeat it to yourselves or to write the words in any language that you may be listening, that stand, spell the word grace in your language. All languages are equally vibrational. She just happens to be speaking in English, her native tongue. But if you happen to be Swedish, if you happen to be Norwegian, if you happen to be from Portugal, the vibration will be the same, and the vibrational influx of personal revelation certainly can be and should be acknowledged, starting from almost square one, and that would be the examination as I'm trying to share of the word grace. What grace is, how it can be obtained if it's not present, who needs it, who doesn't need it, what are the other objects that you have in your hands, friend, when you look in your mind to imagine in your magnificent mind, what if you could put an object to grace? Or objects, or a scene, what does it look like? Does it look like someone who is helping an elderly person who cannot help themselves? Does grace look like turning your cheek, as the expression goes, to someone that's reaching out to you? I don't have time, I'm sorry. Can you find someone else? I really don't have time, I can't be bothered. Is that grace? Is grace when you smile? Is grace when you accept goodness to come to you personally? Or is grace something that you might create or have created that blocks all things from flowing to you? What does grace, you say now, what's the face of grace? Is it a hamlet with no electricity? Is grace when you're moved to tears because someone says something so moving? You can't help but weep. Is grace a feeling of bliss? Can grace embody understanding? Should it embody understanding of all things? Does grace mean that you must understand everything that's being shared at all times? I would be interested in hearing what is on their minds, Jesus is saying. So, Karen, can you open up the lines and see if we
can? I can do, absolutely, yes. So the question is, what does grace mean to you? What does it look like in your mind's eye? Is that the question, Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if people would like to share their thoughts, maybe go star 2 to raise your hand. Might do it that way, I think. Can you press star 2 if you would like to share with Kelly and Jesus what your definition of grace is? Is what grace looks like in your mind's eye. Press star 2 and we'll start answering the calls here.
You know, for me, Kelly, just when you were channeling, I was just thinking and seeing the image of, you know, the Hail Mary full of grace. That was just, there was just like a sweet scent there of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really... It's just the essence that I felt and just a scent of roses. So,
for me, it's completely different. For me, it's helping somebody who I know can't help themselves. That, to me, is grace, working through me and for them. That's really what that means to me. I'm not getting any hands raised. Star 2, if you'd like to raise your hand and share with us what grace means. To you.
If not, we'll move on. Okay.
Sure. So absolutely.
We can always give people time to think about sharing if they're so moved.
Absolutely.
So Jesus, tell us some more. Teach us some more. Remind us some more, would you? In our time here together.
Okay. Corrine did come back from San Antonio. She says, "Grace is the face of love when it meets imperfection." And somebody else had come back and saying unmerited favor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got some hands going up here.
And what's the image? What's the image everybody's holding in their hand? Is it a heart? Is it a scene? Is it the mirror? Did anybody choose to pick up the mirror and look in the mirror and look at yourself?
Well, there's a question. Okay, we've got area code 860. From Connecticut, did you want to share what grace is to you, what you see in your hands? Hello?
Hello. Hello.
Hi, you're on the line. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Mary Ann. It's a pleasure being on the line.
Great.
It's interesting. I was just doing some work on grace this evening and before the call, and what I asked for was to be able to see grace within myself as I integrate new energies to help others.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's see who else was. Selma, do you have anybody else?
Oh, gosh,
I've got more hands going up.
Okay.
I'm hearing a bit more, if you can hang on that just a second. Jesus is asking, giving us, you know, more ideas. Is grace a moment in time? Is grace an eternal state of being? Can you consider yourselves living and being the embodiment of grace if you get angry with yourselves?
Oh.
Okay, I've got some others coming in from the
go ahead.
The webcast. Okay, Grace looks like a child who looks at you with such unconditional love. Nikki is saying, I saw Grace as a ball of pink and purple, feels like love. And somebody else says, the heart of Jesus.
Has anyone seen a purple heart? I'm just curious. I'm kind of, and I would like
to
talk about a black and how to transform a blackened heart before we move off of this topic, if that's okay with everybody.
Sure. I'm just going to quickly, I think it's area code 203. Is it Patricia from Connecticut on the line?
Yes. Yes. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
Yes, we can.
Great. I saw right away a deer. And then I'm a caretaker, and I was putting my 93-year-old client to bed, and my dog jumped up on his bed to kiss him goodnight, and this is an old tough Navy guy, and this is the first time he wasn't embarrassed to say in front of me, I love you, to the dog.
Aww.
And to be totally honest, he's teaching me grace. I've got a heart that's been hardened from life, and I'm trying to get back to grace. Grace is just me smiling with love, and I haven't had that since probably I was a child and a young adolescent, and I'm trying to get back to it. So I really
appreciate it. Sounds like you're making progress. Sounds like you're making progress.
I'm being taught.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Can we continue?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. So, also just FYI, everybody has their own sort of practice, spiritual practice. I always like to call who I'm invoking again. If you've listened to me or not, or you know, or you if folks are listening, to make sure it's the source that I'm sourcing. So, that's, Jesus, what about the blackened heart, please? How can you guide us? He's saying, yes, next, friends, we're going to, I'd like us to keep going and imagine in one of your hands, it makes no difference that you're holding a heart that's turned blackened. It was almost said in just a moment ago, the woman that just shared. So he's saying, imagine there are hundreds of hearts that are blackened from despair, blackened because they haven't found inner peace, an inner sanctum to find glory, someone, something to give them hope. In our creative minds, as the mighty alchemists each and every one of you are, you yourselves, your hearts might be blackened around the edges. Just imagine for just a moment. Close your eyes if it moves you. One hand has the shape of a blackened heart. The other hand, if you're so moved, would be to take your other open hand and kind of clasp it over it as if you were encasing or enclosing something. And I'd like to count a series of numbers and then ask everyone to take their hands away. If it's meaningful to learn from one another, I very much like this idea of sharing with one another if it moves everyone. So I will count the numbers, series 1, 5, 15, 16, 29, 27, minus 1, 0, 0. So if you're so moved, and open your hands. Even if nothing transpires within you, some of you, I feel, will have a temperature change in your body or your energy beings. But know in that moment that we collectively gathered many hearts in our sharing. That's what the collection of many hearts and minds do at one time. They magnifies the power. So magnifying the power and helping some souls, the particles actually, we usually say they dissipate. So if you're imagining golden showers of silver, turquoise, green, white, gold, crystalline, other frequencies not yet known on the earth plane. Imagine very gentle particles going to where you want it to go. This is the beauty of collaboration, he's saying. So we're equal masters, Jesus is saying. Where in your own hearts and minds would you like to send this healing energy? Is it a collective consciousness? Is it all the animals that have been enslaved? Is it all the human beings that are enslaved by toil? Is it all those that might have had abuse in their lives? You, dear ones, decide already now. The particles will follow you where your mind wants them, intends them to go. So where are you intending to send your healing energy for those situations, those conditions, those people, those animals, those places, those things that might have a blackened heart? The trail of energy will follow you where your thoughts go, literally. So I would say if you turn your head to the right, physically turning your head to the right, some of you will feel the wave of energy coming with you. If you turn your head to the left, and let's say my gaze is in Guatemala, to the rebels that are fighting, the particles of what we did just there, they will follow with you till you set your intention of where you want to go. I'm helping hold it in place for this, he's saying, so that they don't ricochet and they're collected, not fragmented. And this is something each and every one of you could choose to do at any given moment in time and share this teaching with others. And this is in essence what is anchoring total unconditional love on your planet once and for all. If your blackened heart is going to be sending healing energy to the Illuminati and those things yet undiscovered, and to those people and things that have hiding things from human consciousness, then send it there. And I'd like to do this a similar thing, if I may, asking souls to imagine a totally white heart being held in the hand. And take just a moment. It does not take long to have the mind imagine. Imagine that the white heart, if you do not see it or do not feel it, it's being placed in different parts of people's body. I myself am being abided by, Jesus is saying. So some of you may feel that the white heart was placed in your open palm, or you're imagining it. Some of you energetically, or may have the knowingness that it was placed in your third eye. Some of you may know and feel that it's in your chakra, your root chakra. Some of you, I know, are feeling it in the heart center instead, the white heart, the power of the white heart. Purity, purity of thinking, purity of action, purity of forgiveness, purity of grace. So if you find yourself lost in the turbulence of life, you may go back to this, dear friends, and ask yourselves, what does the face of grace look like? Am I accepting myself as I accept all others before me? All right, I mean, that transmission's complete.
Oh, that was absolutely beautiful.
Very powerful, very powerful. And Erica just wrote in a comment, too. The image I see is a beautiful golden ball of energy in my hand while handling it to others. Thank you for sharing.
What a powerful process. Oh, yeah. My gosh. And so simple to do, is it not?
Yeah, and Jane from New Bedford came back also. She's saying, I've heard this quote, grace dances on blistered feet. It truly embodies the essence of grace.
Wow.
Very, very powerful.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for invoking Jesus for us all.
Well, and thanks, everyone, for sharing there. As I come to know it, gold is the highest healing element on earth. So the caller that wrote in, let's all just imagine for a moment that we're tossing the same gold ball that she may have either imagined or energetically saw presented. And we're, you know, when I was a kid, we played hot potato.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever play that game?
So did we.
Oh, who didn't, I'm thinking.
Yeah,
so
who didn't?
Let's imagine just for a moment that we're playing hot potato with a golden ball.
Oh,
and
fun.
See if we can't create a spiral, a clockwise spiral. So let's just imagine that there's five people in the room with me, if they're not, or whatever. And we're going to toss the golden ball from person to person, animals too. We can't forget the our loved ones that are helping anchor as well, what we're talking about. So many star-seeded animals, plants too. And let's just imagine that there's more of us than in our room than might be listening, and that we're tossing it to whomever that might move us in a clockwise fashion. And I'd like to count off a series of numbers. I'm going to either listen for Master Jesus or Michael to count off the number series. Somebody's helping me with this because I've never done this before. And then we're just going to toss the ball in a clockwise fashion in our minds through the number series. So while I'm counting, let's just decide in just a moment that we'll all kind of start at the same time. But in our creative minds, we're going to visualize that we're tossing this golden ball of light to others in a clockwise fashion, and we're going to create this spiral upward. Okay, so the spiral, it won't just be, let's say, a simple circle. Okay, we'll be spiraling upward, and then probably I think Jesus or someone is going to put in some other shapes or healing codes at the top of this, okay? So, you know, let's just get ready, get your ball in your hand, and toss it clockwise. So probably left-handed toss, and I'll ask Jesus, what is the number series? And so I don't know how long this will last, so if we just go with the flow here. Jesus, what would the number series be? He said right there, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Does hallelujah mean grace? Hallelujah, hallelujah, rejoice, 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 rejoice. 6, 5, 4, 3, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. 5, 9, 7, 9, rejoice, rejoice. Eternally, heavenly, rejoice in knowing that love is everlasting. You are loved. 5, 6, 7, 5, 6, 7. One more section. We're like making a cone, if you're tracking with us here. We're making a cone, and we're going to get near the top. So if I could continue, please, and that would be 9, 5, 4, 3. I'm at peace. I am one. I am whole. Toss it, toss it, toss it, toss it. Who needs it? Toss it. Hallelujah, rejoice, hallelujah, rejoice. At the top of our apex, let's imagine, friends, a circle of white doves, and the circle of white doves will be circling in all directions. The number is increasing from 1 to 5 to 15 to 15,000 to 150 to 150,000 to 150 million. And imagine, dear ones, that they're flying out in all manners, carrying rainbow-colored streamers from their golden beaks. Imagine as the doves fly from their golden beaks with the colored streamers within them, that they're imparting peace and calm and peace and calm. Again, friends, collectively, where do you intend for the birds of peace to land? Maybe you don't know. Maybe it's not important. Maybe it's just important in being present. Shalom. 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 All right, so that was that process. We're calling it a process.
Wow.
Yeah, very powerful.
A lot of vivid imagery, you know, that's the wonderful thing, I hope, is that because we can all imagine. So even if you're on the call and you've not worked with energy much or you you know, wish you could, or, you know, we're all capable of imagining, and we're all capable of healing one another. We're all capable of healing other places and people and things in our own lives and the world, and forgiveness. So the major message I was taking away from that so far is that we're here to help one another. That's what's anchoring grace and accepting of self can mean.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you for doing that.
And especially, I think, we hear so many people feel helpless as to what to do to help others. And this really is such a simple thing. So I would hope that everybody that's heard this will share this and spread the message and spread the simplicity of it all. That's what
you know, the other thing many, many people know and speak about, of course, in your own lives, when you it just feels good to give love. You know, it's just
it does.
Period. There's not a big expansion about that. But if you're listening and your hearts are in a darkened state, as Jesus was describing, or some of the callers were courageous enough to share with us, give love. Be in the flow of love. That's another way of looking at grace and what ascension energies are. So do more. A lot of times clients consult with me or something in their loneliness. They're lonely. And if that happens to be you and you're listening and you know someone that is, ask them to rise up and get involved and do something. You know, take positive action. Even if you're housebound, even if you don't have very many resources, or you have all the resources in the world, think about helping in some form or fashion. That's an example, of course, of what Jesus was talking about, is we're all equal masters, equality, where there is no ego. So as Jesus said, and we can know ourselves without a master showing up, there's still lots more work to do as long as there's poverty, as long as there's deception, as long as there are all these other what we call lower frequencies that are still on our earth.
True, very true. Kelly, you know, we absolutely love when Archangel Michael comes to visit, and he shares so much wise wisdom with all of us. So many are feeling 2016 will be, yeah, we've heard it expressed as an earth to light or light to earth year with, you know, greater, you know, vibrations. And so I'm sure our audience would be greatly interested in knowing, what does Archangel Michael feel are some of the, you know, greatest opportunities existing for us in 2016?
Yes, I'll be happy to invoke him. And also, if you want to be thinking about, those of you that might be listening, if you have global questions, again, that can enrich our call by what answering and guiding what might be on your heart and mind, whether it's about prophecies or something that Michael may not cover of a global nature. So let me just invoke him. When I asked him earlier today what he'd be speaking about, he said briefly, my information will be sweeping and uplifting. So that does not mean that he may not touch upon some work that can still be done on Earth, or if you have a question very directly for Michael about the financial sector or whatever it may be, but angels generally speak as angels do. So let me just present the question. Michael's a literal guide. Michael, what could you please guide us, and what are some of the aspects of 2016 that we might benefit from knowing about or anticipating, and what might be some of our greatest challenges? Okay, he's saying, thank you. I do stand behind many masters when the masters come before me. So with that being said, the year that you're speaking of, living of, breathing of, will have many what we call and refer to as auspicious moments that lie ahead. Some of the waters may be a bit turbulent at times, and I would also like to describe those, and also like to describe when we get to the turbulent waters, what every heart and mind can do to process them and help ease in the collective consciousness, help ease this. I myself do not see all things, friends, as many of you may know. I myself and the archangels are not even a very high-ranking form of inspiration and source energy. But as I come to see it, as I know things today, I'm happy to share what is presented before me. I've been asked by a higher council to talk about the need for further space exploration. I've been asked to speak by the High Council about not only the need for further space exploration, but for some disclosure in a very good way, I feel, although good nor bad, I suppose, should be removed from us, our conversation, and trying to share some concepts without judgment. So let me reframe that statement and say that global space exploration will be funded by those in the light, and you can expect to see and learn of in the Earth plane more efforts to explore the outer reaches of your own planetary system, you might say. I feel as though this will be most useful and important and most likely come about in the second half of the year where you're speaking of on Earth. Again, with telegraphing of information, I do feel as though what we sometimes refer to as the interstellar highway, that the space exploration will be rapidly increasing near and about, as I'm seeing here, after June, through not only 2016, but if I extended my vision out as I had intended and hope that I may have the privilege of doing, out from this present year, it can be supportive. It can be reassuring. Certainly, that is my intention in sharing things of this nature. So the space exploration, as I see it, will not look like the program on Earth you might come to know, whether you're in the far side of the far east or you're in the far west or somewhere in between. It'll be what we would call a collaborative effort by those light minds, many of which are living in what on Earth most commonly is referred to as the Hollow Earth, the light civilizations that have always been in your mother, as your Mother Earth extends herself and her heart. So the space exploration, item one, in no particular order, it will take a new shape. It will be great discoveries. We already know these things are occurring. Many of the planet and the planetary systems the world will come to know more fully. Many almost would become common household names. So the veil, the lid of oppression, of keeping discovery of all the universes is going to be lifted off. It's already started to lift off, but we're looking at the time you asked me to look at, and it would be most likely the amplitude of that in the second half of the year moving forward. It's a form of disclosure, but not fully and totally, depending upon what your perspective is on the word disclosure. So it is going to be, there is going to be an advancement also this year, a market advancement in getting resources from these other dimensions to help fuel the Earth. So fuels from other dimensional galaxies are going to be discovered this year, next year, 2018, 2019, 2020. There's going to be like a spike. It won't end in 2020, but there'll be an upward surge of those in the light that are able to bring forth new resources of a food-based source to help support the growing populace on Earth. So if I'm being clear, there'll be food-based information that's coming. The technology will advance to allow this. There will also be new discoveries on the horizon as it may pertain to the major illnesses on Earth as a result of some of these supercharged, highly charged foods that are making their way from other galaxies. Superfoods were just the bare beginning, what your world calls superfoods, that's just the tip of a huge amount of healing goodness that's yet to be discovered. And again, the fueling, the natural fueling and the natural evolution really is what it is. The natural evolution of mankind being naturally able to restore him and herself without destroying Mother Earth, without robbing the Earth of fuels. The other discoveries that technology will be leading to in the very near future, if not this year, would be resources themselves, sustainable resources that will be coming from different interstellar galaxies. They're already coming, but again, I'm looking at the curve that goes upward at a kind of a pretty fast pace, if I'm being clear with everyone. And the resources then, again, will be able to moderate fossil fuels. In other words, many, many new ways to fuel your planet that is very clean, that is very pure, that is very effective to leaving your Mother Earth alone will come not only from the interstellar regions as the technology advances, but it will also come from what we call maybe the inner Earth. So there's a circuit that circles around the Earth. It's a circle. There's, for simplicity, I'm just talking about one circle now, if I may, and it comes from inside. The Earth is certainly not hollow. And everything is had as an interconnectedness. I also feel as though that in the upcoming years, if I may extend myself, that in a very blessed way, those that have been behind the financial institutions of your world that have not always had their human best interest at heart, they are continuing to be revealed. They're continuing to be lovingly purified, as I might say. And this is only going to allow, we feel, prosperity, not calamity, but prosperity. Truth is in the embodiment of all men and women. And those that have been manipulating systems on your earth plane will continue to be discovered, redirected to the light, so that in the decade to come, there'll be a greater equality of every man, woman, and child in all manners, particularly now I was talking about the financial institutions. I also feel as though the world might want to know, if you are already not of this nature, many, many great teachers exist on your plane. There will be a comet. The comet will come very close to Mother Earth, and the comet will stir up what we might call sort of an aurora borealis, Michael is saying. He's saying, I sound very scientific to some of you, I suppose, and it may not be something that you've heard from me too much before. He's saying, but I like to play in many sciences. So in trying to share the goodness as I see it, the comet's vibrational energy will allow many pieces of fragmentized energy. Basically, that means places in the earth where there's still poverty, still hatred, judgment, and war, where those, they're like hollow sockets. If you can imagine something that dips down and everything else is, rises up like a glorious mountain. So the passing of the comet will precipitate in a very healing way. The particles from the comet will allow, in very quick order, for many of the holes to be filled with light, ambient light, for lack of any other word, for simplicity, ambient light. The places that I feel that will feel the effects first, if you're curious, if nothing else, he's saying, would be South Africa, Afghanistan, Pakistan. I believe he's saying something like, and forgive me for not knowing every country that and our planet that we live in. I believe it's like Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan, yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Where else? Portugal and Spain. You see, there have been passageways for a very long time, tunnels, where forces outside of light, they've manipulated many things on Earth. They've manipulated your thinking. They've been manipulated and separated your DNA structure and so on. They've manipulated the financial systems. They manipulate and hide all kinds of things, and that might even embody the institution of religion. So in this awakening, this is the awakening. There are many threads of the awakening, and this year certainly is no different than what's been going in place. The energies of 2015 were mighty bumpy for many souls. I feel as though a global statement would be that the bumps will not be very big for the majority of souls on your planet because of a few of the things I'm beginning to share with everyone. It looks as though the heralding of this new dawn, that's what, if you ask a numerologist, what 2 + 0 + 1 + 6 is, in what I might call a mnemonic fashion that's a little different than some. The few challenges, because you asked me to examine challenges too that might be there, they're minor. They're not major. When you hear things like sweeping reform, sweeping change, well, in the hearts and minds, those words carry power, things of cataclysmic this, earth-shattering this, that's still part of the mask of untruth. Sweeping energy is not necessarily where your world is or needs at this moment in the cosmos. It is more, in other words, sweeping implies great change, and for many souls, great change means great fear. So you see, there's still some work, light work, particle work, God, Allah, Creator, your work that can be done. So you want to think, if you can, friends, as jumping out of your bed on any given day, and you open the sashes to your window, and you look outside, and you see the sun, and you hear the birds chirping. It looks like a new landscape. And at the same time, you're accepting, and it feels natural, and it feels warm, and it feels good. It doesn't feel as though you're looking at the landscape, and it looks all completely different. I don't understand this. I'm lost. He says, this is not how it will be. It will be more, as I say, like going to your window and gently casting the curtains back and looking. Maybe you'll see even a rainbow, or you'll see new species of animals. Yes, they will be discovered. More in your world will know about the loving animal community and about the new species that will be shown this year and shown moving forward. Again, once something starts to awaken, friends, he's saying what it doesn't go unawake. It just keeps awakening. So if I could be so humble as to kindly reinforce the idea that when these small waves of every challenge is an opportunity, so I might redirect that. But if there is a personal challenge or a global one, and I'll touch on a few of them in a moment, but if you can go to the highest plane with your thinking and pour love into it, out of this only good will come. It's all love. I'm capable of greatness, anything of the like, to reassure yourselves. The tides will change, and those small bumps that might come about, and the bumps can be how souls are reacting and integrating the ascension energies. So that certainly can be some of the bumps. So it's still quite likely that some on the plane will feel as though things need to come to an end. That could be a bump. That could also be a very bright spot. But if we're kind of examining it from a polar perspective, he's saying, so that's likely to continue, that things that are not working for you, mankind, are being constructed in divine order so that greater things come, and things that do not serve you any longer, whether it's relationships, how you view yourself, any and all things, they will continue to be moved away from you rather quickly. Do not become confused. Do not become forlorn. Do not think that other doorways do not open when one door closes. So that's part of the bump that might occur. Some would find that they would hope that I talk about the climate. So much is always spoken of it. How is the climate going to change? Is this going to fall off the earth? And this, that, and the other. There are perceptions, again, mostly clouded in what I would call a layer of a paradigm of untruth, that there will be global seismic eruptions of all huge proportion, and that the nuclear fusion and the nuclear wars will erupt, and that the worst of the worst is yet to see mankind, and this is not as I see it. The bump, yes, there are bumps. Yes, there are those that are still terrorizing. That's a bump. Yes, there are those that are still manipulating mankind's money globally. That's a bump. Yes, there are those that do not want you to know that Earth has been visited for centuries by loving light beings that are here to help you and always have been. Yes, that could be a bump. Yes, there's religious segments of the world's population that would ask you to believe that you're a sinner. Another paradigm of untruth, another bump. So these are some of the bumps. But the bumps will only get smaller. They will not increase in size, and not everyone will feel them. I also feel as though if I can lead us to something, along with the new nutrients, the new resources from different dimensions, there are also going to be discoveries that will allow more souls to be thinking about space colonies, and this is not as far-fetched as it may be sounding. I'm extending myself out now a little bit past 2016, but not terribly far. And with that expansive technology of a light-based center, there's still some manipulation there, but largely, as more and more love is poured from the heart of Mother Earth, out from all the galaxies, out from many of the dimensionals we might call Arcturians, Centurions, Pleiadians, those from Herculon, many of the intergalactic systems and planetary systems yet to be known commonly by mankind, Dominion, Persimony, so many others, that each of them are contributing to the success, really, of everything on your planet. So the changes will not be sweeping. They will be gradual. They will be marked in certain areas. Disclosure will come at a time. I'm often asked about this in the year 2016 and beyond. As I come to see it presently, global disclosure of loving light beings is still a few years away. That would be global awareness. I'm very hopeful that many of the diseases that might plague those in the most poverty-stricken places on your planet will be eliminated. In fact, this is already happening, and that will continue to occur. So I feel that the essence, if you're looking for a takeaway word that would embody the essence of 2016, my friends, it would be the essence of courage. Courage is the essence. Courage is the frequency that's being integrated in this particular year of our Lord that you're asking me to examine. Courage. So he's taking a break.
He's just a chatty little guy. Oh, my God. He needs a drink of water.
And you probably do too, Ken Kelly. Yeah.
I'm winded. I'm a little winded.
Yes, I know.
Oh,
oh my, my goodness.
The give them an inch and they'll take a mile. You know how that goes.
You've got the bumps. That's all we have to get through, the bumps. That's all right.
Just
just little bumps.
So he's asking, you know, if your ladies are, he's asking me now, so I'm kind of talking too, where may I serve you? So if there is a particular kind of global question about 2016 somebody wants to write in or chat in about, we're more than happy to explore that, or you lead me, ladies, where you'd like us to go.
Let me just see here.
Well, maybe we'll leave, you know, the question and answer just a little bit later.
Okay.
Not too much later.
Not too
okay.
much later, yeah, because
yeah.
we want to honor Kelly's time.
Yeah.
Well, shall we do? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Kelly, a lot of people, and maybe you can translate this to Michael, I'm sure he's hearing, don't have a lot of hope for the way the world is going. They're looking to ascend to 5D, 6D, and beyond. But what are his views about, I mean, he just gave us a whole bunch of stuff. But what would he say to these people that are looking to escape, looking to, I don't even know how to put it into words.
That's okay.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yes, thank you. I have the gist of that, and I'm starting to hear what he's like to share. So thank you for presenting that. So, Michael, guide us on that. Okay. A few statements. Hope springs eternal. Hope is as hope does. So those that might be wary of the future, we suppose we could talk about being in the moment. I do feel as though that as fear gets released energetically in a very large way, it looks like a hiccup. Have you ever made a hiccup?
Oh, yeah.
And yes. Well, there will be many hiccups as fear is, I'll say, cosmically or energetically released as a global sort of aha moment. Let me just keep sharing, if I may, saying the first hiccup will fall near and about the 5th day of May. Your world will not come to circle around this, friends. I'm just framing in a few things because you might feel it, and I'm here to share this to support it, support you in whatever your journey and your mind may be. They're like little bubbles. Maybe you can imagine little air bubbles rising to the surface. That's a very simple way to look about how these fear bubbles collectively will be belched out, you might say, transformed into light. So that's a period in time where there's a global, doesn't sound too attractive, but belch is the word he's using, okay? The next time another bubble will be coming up and rising will be near and about, they're set in quadrants, Michael's saying. So every quadrant, there'll be another huge release of fear, and that is God Almighty, Infinite Mind, God Source Creator that is orchestrating that along with your loving hearts and minds. That's who you can thank. You can thank yourself and God Mind for allowing the pockets of fear that are still there to come up to the surface and rise up like a bubble popping. And when it pops, it turns into liquid gold. So personally, if you're having a personal trepidation, know that in the Infinite Creator's plan, these bubbles already have been coming up, but they're going to continue to rise with greater frequency so that the fear component that's in the soil of the earth. In other words, when you read and learn about terrorism, what is the very first thing, friends, your minds must do? Send love. Offer it forgiveness. Offer them forgiveness. You must. Because if your hearts and minds go to fear, then the bubbles release more slowly than the effervescent way, like a fizzy cocktail, as they should be. So you, dear ones, have a responsibility to yourselves to maneuver in any form or fashion. The answer cannot be global for every person. For some that might find fear to be part of their life, it may be earth counseling. For some that find fear might be the tool for transformation for them might be aligning yourselves with souls that are joyful and happy. Others, it may be having the etheric fears removed from your light body, calling on the intergalactics as we often do and often have through the source, through her. He means star healing, I guess. So there are multiple ways to try to squeeze down the personal fear as well as the global fear so that these bubbles keep rising and liquid gold covers your planet. So there's already, a preset quadrant of time that will extend from now to the next. Well, let's just go out 3 years. But the bubbles will keep rising. And again, what would your loving hearts and minds do if I could ask you to do something? When you know of something of dysfunction, when you learn of it, extend love to it immediately, so that it does not take form and take hold. It may be very difficult to do this. I myself, as I speak for all the collective consciousness of angels, we know this. It may be very, very difficult to do this when you learn of mass destruction or mass anything or one atrocity. When you learn of it, send it love. Send it love, and as you do, you send yourself love. If you find this so refutable that you cannot do this, then a simpler solution might be to find someone to work with as a mentor, perhaps, that can help you do this. The third alternative is to simply not abide by what we you would call the new system, because the new system is still filtered. So one would say the avoidance, not denial, but the avoidance of things that cause your soul wounding is a huge tool of transformation, and it always has been and always will be. So suffering will end partly when you yourselves see yourselves as being supported on earth, spiritually, in all manners, and that when you find something is out of balance, out of harmony, something hurts your soul, do not dwell on it. Do not simply complain about it. Don't let those particles attach to your bodies and in some cases implant themselves into depression and sadness and fear. Vibrate so high that the fractals of disappointment and despair can't attach to anything, and that the fractals of the matrix, which sometimes referred to in a different way, that the fractals of the matrix of sacred geometry will transform all matter back to love source. Again, love is the tool that's going to unite the world and create nirvana on your planet once again. So it's the heralding of the new dawn is the continued use of love. It's not a shield. I'm not going to instruct on using my shield tonight. In this moment, I'm not going to instruct on transforming darkness into light or any of the such, other than what I've shared and ask everyone to remind themselves. If you see something that is out of balance, love it, forgive it, over and over and over if you must, or once. I would say to some of you that are so ready for opportunities and expansion in all matters, do yourself an exercise, perhaps we could call it, and seek out things if you're living off the grid, as many more are, to become coming back to a more natural, organic way of living, being, thinking. Immerse yourself in a newscast for 1 hour, if you must, and send it love and kindness. So you see, there's multiple ways to be pure light and restore yourselves multiple ways with more guides for more dimensions, helping everyone now than ever before. This is a spiritual battle, as I've proclaimed many times before, and the battle's almost over. And the battle is largely unseen, lightness versus darkness, until the final overthrow, where every system, every man, woman, and child will have equality. Of course there are gangs. Of course there are cartels. Of course there are things like the cabal. Of course there are things like the Illuminati and those in control. But these things, these people, these consciousnesses, they do not have long to live on your planet. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Well, he's not sounding so funny tonight, Michael. Maybe you'll leave us with a joke, my friend.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Michael.
I hope we're inspired. certainly.
We are.
And if that's his intention tonight or whenever you might be choosing to listen, then I trust. That's another concept, you know, worthy of always reminding ourselves, don't you think?
Yeah.
Trust.
Yep, trust. Mm. Absolutely. And also, Kelly, as maybe, you know, I know there's a lot of questions, a lot of people on the line want to talk, and we might go out with do some star healing intergalactic energy system maybe towards the very, very end there. We'll maybe go out with that. But let me just talk about your special offer for a moment. I mean, you know, if I had to use the words, you know, like immense, large, or massive, or gargantuan, or like that word, gargantuan, to describe the universe calling you.
No, don't. He just said it would be subtle, right?
Oh, my gosh. But the universe is calling you in 2016. This is just a great, great offer. So many intriguing things that you have put together here. I mean, those two workshops that you're planning, oh, my goodness, that is going to be so powerful. I'm going to let you talk about that. But you've got a special. It's normally, what, $1,204, and you've got it on sale here for our listeners here at Abounded Potential for $269. That's a whopping 80% off. So, Kelly, take us through what are people going to receive from your offer.
All right. Thank you so much. And I always am very grateful for all the opportunities to share my work. Like many light workers, we can't do the work if no one shows up for the work. So certainly I enjoy a private session. Sometimes telesummits like this are not the depth that a person might need. So lifetime is in there. If you've not yet experienced star healing intergalactic energy, or if you've had a session and a condition might remain, this is the sixth year that Archangel Michael downloaded that system to me. I am the founder. I train healers. It's also a system that can be used for our animal friends. Many great things occur there. If I could just tell a side story here, and then I'll go through the other items quickly so we have enough time for everybody's calls. But it is a healing system that is infinite in its potential. There are occasions, sometimes to back up for some of you that might be kind of new to this, to back up, the fifth dimension is the lowest dimension where the archangels reside. It is a level of pure unconditional love. So in many ways we're helping animals and mankind, if there are implants that were put in there to keep us separate from the fall of grace, or from grace, tying grace back into that, from the fall of grace. Certainly Michael's aware of that, and we do that, but we share with one another. If you see things, and I know these things occur, of course, but a client I had the other day remarked that she saw loving light beings. Sometimes we call them Christed extraterrestrials, loving light beings, remove a fishing net off of her head. And the fishing net, as I come to know it, is a film that represents depression. So the all our helper friends, as we call it. We're not alone in the universe. We never have been alone in the universe. Many of them will be present, many Mother Mary, many guides, Michael, many ascended masters. So you're in good company when and if it moves you to conduct a session. Yes, they're conducted all over the world. If we're not within landline capability, we work most of the time through Skype. So there's more about, there's a process, everyone. You know, there's an intake form that can be easily returned, and it'll be my great pleasure to help lift any conditions that might be present. Some people do get instantaneous and permanent healing. Some animals do get instantaneous and permanent healing. Other people, other conditions, as Archangel Michael said, and I know now for 6 years, having facilitated the system, benefits might come to people more gradually, over time, like the sifting of flour. So that's that wonderful system. It has, by the way, as I come to know it, been elevated by a time in our recent history called Wave X, if some of your listeners are familiar about that. Time, Michael said it was made more powerful, because I asked him, if the heaven on high, if the holy of the holy, if all the world is ascending, why do we still need a system like this? And his answer is, well, because they won't be all at once. They won't be. It'll help people get to that place sooner. And it was made more powerful. So anyway, it's the greatest. I could talk forever on that, but I guess I won't. So it's just the greatest. Okay, the workshops, well, Dominion, if you're not familiar with it, we're all, you know, what can Palladians and Arcturians and Centurions do? Our chakra systems, as I come to know it, are outdated, so many other things are outdated, so why wouldn't they, right, to make us embodiment, even, let's say, more of our authentic pure love grace selves, and so... Not too long ago, Michael's been edging me along to listen to a new astrology and astronomy system that helps people understand that there are multiple dimensions and there are healing codes and consciousnesses that are helping us. And that's part of what he starts to explore in Dominion. That's the name. Dominion means oneness. These things that he asked me to do, and maybe some of you, they're not separate. They're all talking about the same thing, really, just different means to kind of, like as Michael would talk about a lot, fill a basket, what tools are in the basket. So he deems it wonderful and time, I guess, for me to help prepare and spread this. What is it? A system. It's astrology. It's astronomy. It's sacred geometry. It's the awareness of 66 different universes. We're presenting the teachings from those in the package. Not all 66 universes. Sometimes I have to back off Michael and say, okay, well, here's the first six. Okay, I'll listen to the first six, and then we'll get to the others later. But it's the idea of we're not alone in the universe. I mean, that's a huge thing to state. We never have been. So without fear, open your hearts and minds and learn how the rainforest became created. Learn what dimensional light races put the seeds. That's what star-seeded means. It's a piece of what star-seeded means. Learn how the rainforest got seeded on our planet. Things on Earth were not like Earth without the help of our intergalactic brothers and sisters. So that's in there. It's a good solid beginning on something that he would love to have me continue with. The workshops you mentioned, I'm super excited about these.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we are too. Oh.
Well, mostly because, well, for a lot of reasons. One, I haven't done this process before in a telesummit format, and Michael is ever creative. He's calling it perpendicular circulation, as you can read if you're looking at the page. The dates are on the workshop here. It'll be a webinar type format, and it's really quite well. That's all I can say.
But it's a new energy healing process. Is that correct, Kelly?
Yes, it's a process as opposed to a modality, sort of, that can be learned and experienced. So it's a process of healing for yourselves and our healing places and things in the world. So we did it here in St. Louis, Missouri. Four or five days ago, it was just marvelous. I think, it gives me great joy just to help. And so perpendicular circulation is what he's calling it. It's for personal healing and transformation. He'll be talking, blessing, sharing. I'll be sharing through him, primarily it'll be Michael, what form this can take. Again, not only for our personal healing, there's some preparatory work, not a big deal, but it's, that would be explained. Michael's looking for images of lower frequencies that you might bring to our time together. So that's a sketch of what that workshop. The second one I got, Michael guided me. I wasn't really sure what to present with necessarily. So the second Global Peace Initiative workshop is what we're calling it, will be with examining, bringing forth Nostradamus.
Incredible.
It's quite interesting to me in a way that Michael brought forth, that's what he'd like me to do, Nostradamus, because of the Paris terrorist attacks. I don't know, but the French, he was a French astrologer, made many prophecies and predictions. I'll bring him forward. I've not done that before. The workshops have a format, but Source leads us. So we'll be taking questions. There'll be processes. And I trust that Michael asks us to collaborate in this manner, not only for personal healing and transformation, but for global transformation in bringing forth Nostradamus. He could have said anybody. So I'm quite excited about all of that. What else? I'm offering a voucher for any follow-up time with me.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
No, again,
again
this
folks,
a...
this is an outstanding price of only $269, a fantastic savings for all that you're getting, but it's time limited. So check that out. Yeah. So
you can give them a link to unboundedpotential.com/Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y hyphen special, S-P-E-C-I-A-L. I'm looking forward to Nostradamus. Can you imagine being introduced to a new healing process and just this is never done before and bringing off Nostradamus? I mean, wow, that's going to be exceptional.
Well, and if I could make another comment too, real quick, ladies, the first workshop will be. Certainly, we're running energy and pretty strong energy. So you don't have to be a light worker. By strong, I just mean, everyone will be coached by me or my staff in advance about, water, et cetera, that kind of thing. But, we had some remarkable sharing in our event here. Michael's asked me to continue this, so that's what I'm doing. He's asking for eventually that these little snowballs of, perpendicular circulation will turn into a big snowball, and he wants this ginormous global peace sit-in is what he's calling it. So we're doing you'll be joining me, and we'll be doing our part in creating a snowball, and they'll just keep gathering and gathering.
I'm just visualizing that in my mind. Like, if we could get everybody that listens to these calls starting to gather and bring their friends and they gather, just imagine the impact we could have on the planet.
It's been overstated or taught many times probably, but it is a truth worth repeating as I come to know it. When more than one person is gathered,
yeah,
the power increases.
Yes.
So that's just the way it is.
Right.
When two columns of light touch, it's more powerful than one. So we're looking to expand that workshop in any and all ways. So if you have an idea, ladies, or those of you, if you want to join me, we'll just get the snowballs going.
Mm-hmm. Make it an avalanche down the road.
But can we keep it out of our town? I'm so tired of shoveling. Can we just... all right.
Yeah.
We're getting a little bit late here, and I know a lot of people have a lot of questions. Are you ready for that, Kelly?
Yes, sure. Mm-hmm.
And Michael, are you ready?
Love to.
Okay.
Okay, well, now that he's playful, he's standing in a salute. Always, always ready.
There you go. Kind of like the Boy Scout. The Boy Scout.
Kind of like the Boy Scout, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody want to start?
Well, okay. Maria from Cleveland, she says, will more archaeological evidence be unearthed proving mankind has lived here far more earlier than what has been taught?
Oh, I love that question. I love that. Thanks so much. Let's bring the big boy in and see what he has to say.
The big boy. We like the big boy.
Michael, what about this, please? She's asking. You're hearing this. You're helping. How can you help us? He's saying yes, yes on that. I do feel as though if your hearts and minds don't know it, attempts to have been kind of, you know, the portals of opening about the archaeological, there's many archaeological wisdom and all over the world. So I do feel as though some fossilized remains will be found in South America that have not been discovered. Also feel as though that the portals of Giza, where the underground tunnels were to the inner and hollow earth, that's one portal opening. That is going to continue to expand and open up, and yes, there'll be further discoveries there of that nature. Also feel as though you might find it interesting, if nothing else, to learn about, I do anticipate archaeological discoveries to be identified in the first time near and about the Great Wall of China, he's saying. If any of you have studied anything or been or visited the Great Wall of China, you know that objects of all matter carry frequency, even the most solid ones on Earth, even the most solid like a wall. And if any of you are what you might call more sensitive to energy, or the next time you might visit, of course it emits a frequency, even a wall, and certainly a long, long wall such as that one. And so that the discoveries will be around the wall. I feel as though that will be sort of made known in this year. Also feel as though that we talk about quite often at times about the rising of Atlantis. And, you know, the archaeological community or the world, archaeological excavation implies in our minds, I think, on the land. But there are will be, and there is a huge amount of, I'll put that, archaeological, oceanographic information that will be sourced to your planet in the coming decade. Starting, I would say, near the tail end of this year, moving more fully near in about 2018. So if I was clear with that, certainly, there are oceanographic archaeological remnants of civilizations that will once again rise from the oceans. I do feel as though some of the mythical creatures that inhabited your early Earth will be reappearing, and so it's quite likely that you might know of reports about such a thing as the woolly mammoth, or such a thing as the giant Tyrannosaurus rex, and et cetera, and so on. And it's quite likely that there will be fresh footprints of these benevolent creatures in the next decade or two.
All right.
Wow.
You think, have I covered that enough?
You have. You have.
I think
Thank you.
Should cut him off, or he could go forever.
I know, but it's good. It's good. We love hearing that.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Karen, did you want to go to a few live callers? And
yes, absolutely. We have, I don't know, area code 651. Minnesota. You're on the line with your question. If you could tell us your name, please.
My name is Char, and I'm
calling
from St. Paul. Hello. This has been so wonderful. And, okay, so since America, and I don't mean to be jingoistic and close out the rest of the world, but since America is approaching a presidential race again, mm-hmm. and some of the candidates have remarkably negative outlooks on humanity and seem to be focused on greed and fear as their modus operandi. And I won't specifically say who that is, but his name rhymes with Rump.
Yeah, and well, I think we all know who you're talking about.
Got that great hairdo? Is that what you're referring to?
Doesn't Selma have a crush on him? I don't know.
I've been thinking, okay, so maybe we just have to send him a lot of love. And is that the strategy that Michael would suggest? And does he have anything to say of what the outlook is like for that race?
Okay, thank you very much. Michael, you're hearing this. What about this, please? All righty. Well, you know, in weighing in and guiding, and trying, this is me talking because he's kind of helping me, but in trying to respond to that without sounding judgmental, because, you know, one would say, Michael said we could ask ourselves, how do you, one time it came about somehow in a session or something, and I think, oh, I know, like energetically, sometimes when people are fully sort of what we might call reconnected, back to source, they energetically kind of disappear, and then they come back. And a component of that certainly is judgment. How ascended are we if we stand in judgment? So I'm going to turn it over to Michael now and see how he'd like to respond. What about this, please? All right, he's saying... Well spoken. Well, yes, the world still does cast judgment. And it is what I might say the last bastion. When the world, decades ahead, it will be that nirvana. Man will, it's almost like slow motion. Man will walk with man. The birds, almost like a fairy tale, the birds, the rainbow-colored animals will walk alongside of you in peace and harmony on the earth again as they had done so many hundreds of millions of years ago. You know, there are still the political regimes or the political systems in not only in the continent you expressed, but in many, there's still masks of deception, treachery, in fact. It's really what we're hoping to fall away from and allow mankind to decide eventually the agrarian part of society where mankind self-rules in a very loving way. This is a few decades away. Even that might have sent a shock fear across someone. But if you can imagine a very loving society, that's what's projected for Earth. So we're quite aware that there's still not one individual, but thousands of individuals that manipulate mankind with fear still to keep man in fear. Certainly you've identified a soul that might have a way to grow and change in their evolution, as there are many. He is not unusual for what he represents in the sense that there are many. All right, this is what Michael's calling the last bastion of discovering some of dark forces, okay, that might be there. I would suggest to you, my friend, and to others, to follow your heart in it. If it moves your heart and mind to resonate that no one resonates truth and loving and kindness with you, then I might say, then why would you cast an intended vote of any type for any reason? I do feel as though that the weakest will succumb. I do feel as though this is probably the last political election in your particular continent that will have a bit of a biased person in its role. The beauty of this is even with a biased person in place that might be considered the next president of your world, they will have aside them many, sometimes we call them corporals or commanders in the spiritual realm, that will be guiding them in an unseen manner for the goodness of the planet. Because light is always stronger than darkness, so even if their decisions are faulty, even if the poorest choice would happen to win the election, you might say, imagine and know in your hearts and minds that the light of all the high council that would be surrounding this next political climate in your world that you've asked me to look at is going to be softened by the light that's being emitted to them. In other words, they'll have less treachery and deception in them than in other generations.
Well, now there's good news.
Mm-hmm.
There's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank
My
you,
great
Char.
Pleasure.
What a great question.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Nancy from Toms River, Kelly, she's saying, can you tell me if I have a special angel assigned to me or any advice for me? Thank you. God bless. What could you say to Nancy?
Okay, thank you. What about her angel, Michael? Well, he's saying, I visited you many times. To say that you don't have a special angel implies that you're not special, he's saying. But I'm a literal guide, and it's not just one angel. And in fact, you and all of mankind have multiple guides into infinity. So you could call on me if you're really asking who would I call on. You could call on me, or you could just call on the High Council, or you could call on whatever tradition. Or you could call on me by tone. But the idea of a special angel, he says, he's having trouble sort of wrapping his mind around him being special, I guess, partly. and all that's what you call supreme humbleness. And also just sharing that you have many, many angels surrounding you, not just one. Okay? So I don't know if you've been told that or not before that you have more than one, but that's what I'm hearing for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A legion of angels follows souls when they walk, he just said.
Oh, nice.
A legion of angels follows you when you walk, friends. Even the dark souls who've committed some of the most heinous things, you say, well, oh, that's a whole nother topic, Michael. We don't have time for that. I will say to you that even those that carry some darkness have legions of angels. Call upon us. You don't need our names, but if it gives you, if it makes you, if it helps you, there's so much teaching about which angel to call on and I, or which don't, or which to. I'm all good and fine with all of that. So do what feels right to you and know that you're never alone.
We have area code 310. From California, if you could tell us your name and your one question, please. Hello? Hello? Okay, I'll go on to the next one. We have area code 952, looks like Minnesota. If you could tell us your name and your one question, please.
Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hey. Hello, hello. Kelly and Archangel Michael, I've spoken with you before and follow Archangel Michael's teachings. And Archangel Michael says that he wants us all to be, or that God wants us all to be happy in our earth plane existence. And yet, I think for many of us, we struggle with finding paths to happiness, whether it be our career or finances, those practical things. What advice does Archangel Michael have for us on the prosperity and financial aspects of our lives?
Okay, thank you. So I wonder if he'll answer this globally or personally. Michael, how would you like to guide us? Well, he's saying there's a component to something we haven't spoken of here, and that is soul charts. And soul charts, for some unearthed of a certain age, chronicle age, had some difficult life lessons written into them. Since 2012, soul charts are being eliminated. They're being shrunken down and condensed into more of what we might call light mission books. So particularly souls under the age of six or seven, there's a little overlap, they have mission statements. It almost sounds like business, doesn't it? But the mission statements do not have any denser lessons to learn. So the whole idea of part of what you're asking about, I think you're asking, about this happiness component, and if there are difficulties that might have been present or might be present in one's life, preventing someone, let's say. Some of that was prepared by the soul themselves. No one else prepares the soul contract except the soul chart. Sometimes I use the words interchangeably. And so depending upon where you might be in that, there could have been a multitude of more difficult, dense lessons that you chose in the soul sense to land in your life at a certain stage of development. For example, maybe near the ages of 30 and 31, you charted a lesson of trust, and you also charted a lesson of patience, and they overlapped. And maybe you charted a lesson of loving oneself, and that did something to halt the flow of abundance. So it doesn't mean that if a soul has charted all these difficult lessons that life cannot be ever abundant. There always has been something called asking for divine intervention. And asking for divine intervention is, as I've shared with many, an exalted form of a prayer that goes to a high council. And the high council, higher than myself, the Elohim, they, in their loving goodness, choose to change soul charts, or they choose to keep them as they are. There's also the power of prayer. So in responding to you and the nature of life, one would say also, we talk so much about love and our thoughts because the fortified field of the human being was meant to be largely one huge glowing heart, one huge glowing, spinning, fast, open, golden goblet known as the heart. And the field of every man, woman, and child, plant, animal, rock, stone, twig, can be fortified by being in what we spend so much time sharing about, and those are high frequencies. That's how one fortifies one's field. Conversely, negativity, attachments, things of an unseen nature can attach to souls of any nature when your field is weakened. And doesn't, I'm not saying it happens to every human being, but we're talking about the microcosms of life and the importance of thinking the mind, thinking with the mind and acting with the heart. So it's like if you have a wall, and the wall is impenetrable. Oh, I know I didn't say that right. It's impenetrable. So sorry. But you have a little window, and you want the light to come in. The light will be stronger and more focused. So it is a reality that you can, you're an energy being, and you can collect dust, whether they're from other lifetimes or from negative thinking or from being around negative thinking, negative acting souls. So what I would say in summary, perhaps, is that if you find yourself in the context of being in a complaining mind. I'm not saying you are, but globally I'm trying to answer your question. If you find yourselves globally in a complaining state, if you find yourselves in a lost state, by all means, of course, find something that you can be grateful for. You want to be in the frequency that you wish to attract. I'll say it again, he's saying. You want to be in the frequency you wish to attract. So in some cases, it does require active participation of the mind or the voice or sound or other means and matters for this to occur, so that the fortified field of the golden goblet of the heart, nothing can penetrate it. Sometimes the heart is violet mixed with the gold, but it can't be punctured by the lower frequencies. You might call it resiliency. So the life experience, even without a dense soul chart, even for the younger generation, the earth itself will be having the next generation of souls that are entering the blue moons. The blue moon souls will have what we might call an exalted place to inhabit. It does not mean you cannot live an exalted place and state of being yourself or yourselves. So we find it valuable to acknowledge that there are things that are not quite well and good and whole. You may choose to ask for divine intervention. Align yourself with souls and activities, images. Use all of your senses the infinite mind gave you. Look at images. Fortify your field. Look at images that are peaceful, soothing. Nurture oneself. How much have you nurtured yourself lately? These are the things I might redirect your heart and mind to.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you.
I think
thank
it applies
you.
To very many people. Thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Very, very genetic across the road. Well, we thank everybody for their questions. Unfortunately, we're just running out of time, and we want Kelly to do one last process, and it's her Star Healing Intergalactic Energy System, and it is about maybe doing a peace and calm process for us. Is that
I think we'll do that. And next time, ladies, if there's a next time, we'll have everybody have their slippers on and their robe and like a nice cup of tea or something.
We're gonna have a pajama party.
Yeah, pajama party.
Okay. Yeah,
that'll
be
fun. Yeah, pajama party. Yeah. All right. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, ladies, for having me on, for going out with the process. Let me see if he wants to do it in a different – I think we'll do this, okay? So rather than, the peace and calm, where there's peace and calm, there can be no illness in the body. As I come to know it also from Archangel Michael, nothing in the body as of a condition is inherited. So I'm hoping that in some ways I'm – supporting some of you and maybe opening your thinking of what you might have been taught, or we've all been taught, of this disease is inherited and so on and so forth. The fear that you're going to get it can align it in your body is the truth as I know it. So with that being said, we use peace and calm and star healing. We access God energy from the Pleiades and everyone else. Just invite everyone, I haven't done this in a very long time, you can provide your own self with the same movement Archangel Michael says is the same feeling that we all felt when we were in the womb, and that is the feeling of total peace and calm. So standing, sitting, doesn't matter. Your palm is open. You're about 6 to 8 inches away from your heart. That's the physical heart. Not the heart chakra, in a clockwise fashion, looking at your hand, 6 to 8 inches away from your physical body is close enough to what we call the mid-heavens. There's more constructive healing benefit from being in the mid-heavens as opposed to the low body. So your hand is open and very, really, very simple. Just start very slowly circling your open hands, 6 to 8 inches, 10 inches. Don't get out a ruler. And make clockwise circles very slowly. And some of you will immediately feel more peaceful and calm. Certainly, I've been blessed enough over the years to work with many people from all places, and occasionally I'll hear a client that says, "But I know my womb experience wasn't peaceful." And Michael's response to that type of statement, when I do hear it, is, "You were peaceful in the moment of conception. You were peaceful in the moment of your journey. Let no one put it asunder," is usually how he kind of says it. So that's something that everyone can do if it moves you for yourselves. That's the motion, to share the same peacefulness for calming and peacefulness that Michael says we all felt when we're in the womb. So that's the technique.
It's wonderful.
Good.
It's really
that's
simple.
Wonderful. It is, you know. We don't have to make things so complicated, do we?
No.
I think a lot of people overcomplicate everything. Thank you for that, Kelly.
My great pleasure.
Just thanks for being with us.
I just want to remind everybody that Kelly does have a massive special offer going on for our listeners. This is over $1,000 of value, but for a limited time, the price is $269. Check it out on the special offer page. What was that URL again? Kelly Special, unboundedpotential.com/Kelly-special. Is that right?
Yep. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm good. What a good memory.
You've been talking to Claire.
And this includes brand new workshops that we have never done before, with the brand new theme of global peace initiatives. There's the one also is Nostradamus. We've got personal time. We've got the new astronomy system called Dominion. There's personal time. Oh, I mentioned that. See, I'm getting old. But time is limited. So,
or the time is late. It's one of them.
Let's get our slippers on.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, have you got another process?
But
we're
no
just ready.
No pillow fights. We're only going to be throwing golden balls of light.
All I'd like to say there, ladies, is that, yes, there could be. Michael's had me put golden slippers on people's feet before when they're in a session. So there's infinite knowledge.
I used to play a song on my accordion called "Oh, Those Golden Slippers."
How fun is that?
Look at that, when I was a young child. Anyway.
Maybe next
that
time.
That was a dinosaur's room. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, pretty much. I'll be joining
them. Okay, I think those are their archaeological finds, right? As Michael was talking about. Always a pleasure, Kelly. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thanks, everybody.
And, that about, you know, teaching that grace was just heartfelt. That was just sensational. So we deeply appreciate you sharing so much. Thank you.
My great pleasure.
And,
thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. And also to our marvelous audience members, you know, may you always be more, love more, live more, and never settle for less. Go beyond. Thanks always for joining us. Good night, everyone.
Create amazing, everyone.
We truly hope you enjoyed today's presentation to assist you in going beyond.
Until next time, be more, love more, live more, and never settle for less.